Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in three places of Scripture today. John 17, Galatians 2, and Colossians 3. We'll be working our way through them today. We began a brand new series of messages entitled Unusual, The Sanctified Life. Now, before I want to talk about what is unusual, I want us to think just a moment about what might be considered usual in our life. If you follow social media or the news, there's some phrases that might jump out to you. In particular, the social media giant known as Twitter has this thing called trending. Do you know what trending is? Trending just refers to if there's a video, if there's a news event, if there's something that happened that everybody is talking about. That means it's trending. It means that it's common. It's usual in our conversations. Facebook has this. It's called Trending Now. Some of you go to news pages and you're looking up the news. It might be the section that's called Top Stories. It's the stories that everybody's interested in. But you see, what's usual takes place in all different ways of life. It's not just the things that we talk about. It might be the song that we always hear when we turn on our favorite radio station. Isn't that funny how a song can go from number one to you completely forgot that song was ever popular because they overplayed it? Any of you ever get tired of the same song being played over and over and over? It's because it's common for a while, but eventually it becomes uncommon again. It might be a hairstyle. You ever look back at pictures of yourself from 10, 20, and since I'm young, I'm just going to cough the rest, 40, 50, whatever the years may be. And you look back, and maybe your kids or grandkids laugh at you because you say, "Why in the world were you wearing that?" And you try to explain to them, that was the style then. That was the fad. That's what was common. That's what was usual in our life. So I want to have just a little fun. Can we have fun? I want you to think of something that was a fad in your lifetime. It can be during your childhood years, your high school years. It can be even 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Whatever it is, something that was usual then, that if you were to bring it back, it would be very retro. It would be unusual now. Do you have it? Again, a song, a hairstyle, clothes, anything. You have it? When you have it, turn to a neighbor, tell them what it is. I didn't say preach a sermon. This is, for some of you, this is all you're going to get out of the message today. Anybody remember Fergie's or the pets? I grew up during that. The Gigi pets you wore on your keychain. I was a 90s kid. I was thinking of some music. Backstreet Boys and NSYNC was popular when I was really a kid. Some of you are like, who was that? Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking of some of your pictures, afros, I don't know what that was about, whitewashed jeans, some of you, bell-bottom jeans, yeah, leggings might work their way into that category. Here's what's so interesting to me when we start thinking about what is unusual, because what was usual yesterday will already be unusual today. And what is usual today will be unusual tomorrow. And when we're always trying to keep up with the latest fad, the latest trend, whatever it is going on now, here's what happens. We will invest in something today that will have no value tomorrow. Hashtag Beanie Babies. Worth a whole lot of money 15 years ago. You can't give them away now. And we waste all of this time investing in something today that will have no value tomorrow. We will update something today only for it to be outdated tomorrow. And so before anything starts out as being usual or common or natural, there was a moment in its lifespan where it was first uncommon. and unnatural and unusual. You see, the life that God has called us to, the sanctified life, is just that. It often feels unusual. It often feels uncommon. It often feels unnatural. Because the life of God in our world is not always popular. In fact, it's rarely popular. It's never trending on Twitter. It's never the top story on Facebook. It's always the story that no one hears, that no one knows about, that it almost feels silenced by everything else that's happening in the world. It just consumes it. It feels like it eats it whole. But this sanctified life, you know what it means to be sanctified? The unusual life. It's to be set apart by God, for God, to be like God. The sanctified life means for us to be set apart by God, to be set apart for God, so that we will be like God. Now, being like God is not just imitating God. We see this in the Scriptures. Here we go. We see this in the very beginning. God said, He's having a conversation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're talking to each other. They said, okay, we're going to make man. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. You see, we were created in the very beginning to be like God. To reflect Him in His very nature. To reflect Him in His very essence. To reflect Him in His characteristics. To be like Him in every way. And so the question we might have then is, what is it to be like God? Well, Leviticus tells us, Moses says, speak to the entire Israelite assembly and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Holy is almost an interchangeable word with what it means to be sanctified, the unusual, uncommon, unnatural life of God. It's to be set apart by God and for God to be like God. So the reason that we are called to be holy is why? Because God is holy and we are called to be like Him. Now, just so we are on the same page, this is not like an optional sermon. So we're going to hear this and it's going to feel unnatural. It's going to feel uncommon. It's going to feel unusual. And we're going to think, well, it's not really a requirement. No, this is the requirement of God. It says, make every effort in Hebrews to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Why? Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So if we are not like God, we will not see God. We will not enter into the kingdom of God if we are not reflections of God's likeness in the world. I don't know about you, but my radar kind of goes off at that. I don't know about you, but I really want to see God. And it's past the point of just because I don't like the alternative of being separated from God. It's that my heart aches and longs to see God's kingdom fully restored in this world through Jesus Christ. And the only way that happens is through living a life that is like Him, that is set apart by Him and for Him to be like Him in this world. Now that puts a real big weight on our shoulders, does it not? Have you ever tried to be like God just for a day, to be perfect? Say, I'm not going to mess up today. I'm going to focus my full attention. How'd that go? Even for one day, we're not even talking about a lifetime, to be like God fully and completely, it's kind of like, that's not possible. Is that how you feel? You kind of start to tune out because it's like, this is an impossible sermon. When I was growing up, my favorite sport used to be basketball, and then God saved me and sanctified me, and it was baseball. But when I played basketball, it was during the era of one of the greatest basketball players to ever live and play, Michael Jordan. And there was a saying that we would say to each other, to be like Mike. And so if Michael Jordan made an amazing play, guess what we would do on the playground? We would be like Mike and replicate that play. If Michael Jordan jumped from the free throw line and dunked it, which he did, guess what we would do? We would lower the goal and we would hurt ourselves trying to jump from the free throw line to him. Now, we were being like Mike, were we not? We were imitating his every move, except there's only one big problem. We could emulate his shot, but we could not shoot like Michael Jordan. We could replicate his move, but we could not move like Michael Jordan. No matter how much we tried, we could not be like him. No matter how hard we try in and of ourselves, we cannot be like God. We can see what God does and we can try and imitate it, but it will never be enough. We cannot do this thing in and of ourselves. We have to have the same essence, the same source, the same ability, the same gifting that God has. The good news is this is what the sanctified life is that God has not only called us to this thing, He has enabled us and empowered us with His Spirit to do it. You see, in the very beginning, God said, we're not only going to make people to be like me. Then what did He do? He breathed into us the breath of life. He breathed into us Himself, His very essence, His very source. You go into the book of Romans, and Romans says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it is in you, it is in me. And so God has not only called us to this thing, I got to make sure you're on the same page, that it's only in and through Him that we can do it. He gives us the power and the essence and the Spirit by which we can do this thing. And so what does it mean to really live this sanctified life? I'm going to do a lot of teaching today, or at least I hope I'm going to attempt to. The first is from John chapter 17. This is known as the priestly prayer of Jesus. This is the final prayer that Jesus prays that we have recorded. In just a few moments, He's going to be handed over and arrested, and He will give His life for us. But before that happens, Jesus prays. He first prays on His own behalf, and then He prays on behalf of His disciples, His 11, because Judas has already betrayed Him, and then prays for all believers. But in John chapter 17, beginning with verse 13, here is what Jesus says. He's speaking to the Father. He says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I'm just going to pause here because I don't have time to preach it later. The sanctified life is the joyful life. The way that we have the full measure of His joy is by having our life set apart by Him, for Him, to be like Him. Searching for purpose and meaning to our life, there is no other purpose and meaning, there's no other love, joy, or peace that we can have than to have our life set apart by Him and for Him to be like Him in this world. Okay, keep going. Jesus says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, and they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Do you hear that? They don't have the same essence. They don't have the same spirit of the world. Why? Because the world lives by sin and evil, and we don't satisfy the sinful nature. We satisfy the Spirit of God living in us. So we're not of the same essence. We're of His. So my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Oh, this is so important. Everybody say out. But that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world. There it is again. Even as I am not of it. Here it is. Sanctify them. Set them apart. God, you set them apart. Set them apart for you to be like us. And set them apart by the truth, for your word is truth. Now this is important. Jesus didn't have the Bible. So we're reminded from John 1 that He's speaking of Himself, that Jesus is the Word. And so as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into, everybody say into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So how do we live this unusual life? This sanctified life, it's really very simple, is that God sanctifies us through Jesus Christ for the world. God sanctifies us, sets us apart through Jesus Christ for the world. I want to break that down. Jesus is the one who sanctifies. Jesus is the one who sets us apart. We can try and be unusual. Some of us don't have to try very hard to be unusual, do we? But the purpose of being set apart by God and for God to be like Him in this world isn't just so that we can be different. It isn't just so we can be unusual. It's not just so we can be weird. And we can't do it in and of ourselves. But here's the important part. And the church has gotten this wrong for too many years. It's not about what we're set apart from as much as it is what we're set apart for. So, it's not about what we are against, it's what we are for. So sanctification being set apart doesn't mean we're set apart from the world. We're set apart for the world. Because Jesus sanctifies us, and how does Jesus sanctify us? What did He do that set Him apart from the world? The cross. And yet, who was the cross for? The world. The cross was not against the world, it was for the world. And I think we're moving a little bit out of this trend, but just in case there's some residue left or you have some nightmares left over from when you grew up, is that the church is really good about making up rules on what not to do. Now, you understand why we do this. We're trying to define what it looks like to be set apart from sin, to be set apart from the world, to be set apart from the ways of evil and Satan. But we focus so much on this that we forget we are set apart by God, for God, to be like God in this world. You know why? Because the world needs to know that there is an unusual way to live that brings the full measure of the joy of God into their life. That the way the world is going is not the only way. There is an alternative. Boy, we've all been there, haven't we? Where we see the way the world does something and we try and make it work and make it work, and finally we realize none of the ways we've ever been showed works. You did this with your parents. Or younger kids, you will do this with your parents. You will say to yourself, when I'm an adult, I'm never going to do that. Except you will do that because you will find out there's a reason that your parents did it that way. It works. See, we have this time in our life where we think that God doesn't really know what He's talking about, that the church is just weird and unusual, which we are, but it's so backward, it doesn't work, except we will find out there's a reason that the message of God has worked so long is because it still works. There is another way to live, but here's the important part. The reason we are set apart, the reason God gives us a divine purpose, it's for the world. Listen to me, church. The moment we start being against the world is the moment we stop having purpose. And the moment we stop having purpose is the moment we stop being sanctified by Him. The extent of our sanctification is the extent to which we are for the world. Because everything God sets us apart from is for the purpose of setting us apart for the world to show them a better and unusual way to live. Galatians chapter 2, so how do we do this? Paul writes, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." So we learn that God sanctifies us through Jesus for the world. But this sanctified life is not our life. Did you hear it? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Boy, this is key. I try and think of songs sometimes that could go along with our series. And there's a song I've been listening to that I really, really like. It's called "Build My Life." It says, "Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for You." Oh, yeah. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for You. We live for You. Now, I'm getting both hands starting to raise now. "Holy, there is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who You are and fill me with Your heart." That's sanctification. You hear it? Don't just change my heart. Give me Your heart. "And lead me in Your love to those around me." You hear it? It's sanctification for the world. But then I have a problem with it. Here's the bridge. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Now, it's a beautiful song. I'm not telling you not to like the song or listen to the song. But it's wrong theology. It's not about us building our life on Him. It's about Him building His life in us. For I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the way He lives in and through us, guess what? Did you hear it? And we live by faith in the One who gave Himself for us. Faith is a permit. If you have ever had a house built or you've had something built, typically what has to happen is that you have to have a permit or permits, right? For the electrical, for the plumbing, for all of these things, and make sure that they're up to code. But you know what a permit does? It gives permission for someone else to do the work. Right? Most of us, if we're going to build a house, we're not building our own house. And there'll be somebody who will come up to me afterwards. I built my own house. I was thinking of you, Jason. Not that you'd come up to me afterwards, but that you built your own house. My point is this, is that the permit gives permission for someone else to do the work for us. Here we go. You know what faith does? Faith gives God permission to build the life of Jesus Christ in us. When we choose His righteousness to do what is right, we are giving Him permission to build His life and ours. When we decide He's told us not to worry, so we ain't gonna worry, it's giving Him permission to build His peace into our life. When He tells us to take great joy, consider it a privilege, a joy to experience suffering and hardship, we think, what a joke! But somewhere in this, God, I'm going to choose joy. Every time we do, we're giving Him permission to build His joy into our life. So hear it. We don't sanctify ourselves. God sanctifies us. He sets us apart for the world. The way He does it is by giving us the very nature, the very essence, the very person of Jesus Christ living in us through the power of His Holy Spirit. And watch what happens. I'm getting someplace good. I assure you of that. Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. See, this is essential. We can't be raised with Christ if it's our life. We can't raise ourselves. The only person who's ever been raised to life is Jesus Himself. And that was by God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, who on the third day said, Jesus, get up. And so He got up. And because our life is His life, and as we're going to find out, it works both ways. Look what Colossians says, set our hearts on things above. Why would we set our hearts on things above? Because our life is above in Him. It's not down here below on earth. Where Christ is seated, this is key, everybody say seated, at the right hand of God. I'm going to come to that in a minute. Set your minds on things above. Whoops. Not on earthly things. For you died, hear the language, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So here it is. Not only is Christ's life in us, but now any part of our life is in Him. Do you see it? We died, but our life is hidden with Christ in God. So where Christ is, there we are, right? So if Christ is seated above, that's why we're seated above, says Ephesians chapter 1. So when Christ, who is your life, they're one and the same, they can't be separated, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. What's all that mean? If Christ is seated above, at the right hand of the Father, that means that He is above and beyond the reach of this earth. It does not mean the earth that we cannot reach Him. We do that by faith in Him. It means that whatever is here on earth cannot defeat Him. It can't overcome Him. Translation, Jesus is above and beyond the reach of sin. Sin can never touch Him anymore. sin can never destroy him anymore. Sin no longer has power and reign and rule over him. Instead, he has the power to rule and reign over sin. Evil cannot tempt him. Evil cannot reach him. Evil cannot make him worry. It cannot make him depressed. It cannot cause him to be confused. It cannot even reach to him because he is seated above and beyond the reach of anything on earth. I'm hoping you'll start connecting dots, but you're going to make me work, aren't you? So if his life is above and beyond the reach of sin and evil and disease, and our life is in Him, and it's seated with Him, that means that our life, too, can be above and beyond the reach of sin. It does not mean sin will not be present. It means that when sin is present, it is not allowed to rule. It does not have the power. You see, I'm getting looks, and I knew this was going to happen because it's unusual. Not that I get looks, but unusual sermon. Because we believe it's not possible. We've been told to bought into this lie that we cannot be set free from addiction. That's just the way it's always going to be. Except, can Jesus be overcome by addiction? Can He be overcome by sin or evil or worry or the things that get all over us and overcome us? No. So when our life is set apart by Him and for Him, and He is in us and we are in Him, there is an unusual life where the power of sin cannot reign over us. It means that evil can be present, but it will not have the final say. It means that there can be storms, but the storms cannot even touch our peace. It means that we can have suffering and hardships, but they can't even get close to our joy, because our joy is in Him and His joy is in us, and nothing can take it from us. Oh, that is an unusual life. That is an unusual life. I've just tried to lay it all out. I have no other application but this. We're invited into it. That's it. I don't know if you've ever been invited someplace that you could never afford. You ever been given tickets someplace that you would never buy yourself? You get to experience something that is outside of this world, that's outside of your world. Can I tell you, that's the invitation of God. It's a life that we cannot earn. It's a life that we cannot deserve. But it is a life that we can experience outside of ourselves. I'm going to ask Terry and Paula to come. We're going to close with a simple song. And I'm going to invite you into this life today. If you're here today and you would say, I want my life to be set apart by God and for God and to accomplish His purpose in this world, I'm going to ask you to come. Would you stand today? Let me be clear on this. God has a purpose for your life and for mine. Let me be clear on this. God is inviting us into a required way of living. We can't do it on our own. He's the only one who can do it. You see, there should be a definite moment in our life where we can look back and say, this was the time that I said, God, here is my life. Set it apart by You and for You that I might be like You in this world. And when He does it, He will confirm it with the power and the presence of His Spirit. I'm asking you today, have you ever been sanctified? And I'm asking you today, if it's been a long time, are you still set apart by God and for God to be like Him in this world? If the answer is no to either one of those questions, I'm going to invite you to come. If you want someone to pray with you, come to this altar and I'll pray with you. If you want someone to pray over you but not bother you, you come to this altar. Let's be obedient today and hear the Spirit of God speaking to us.